Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined this morning by live blog director Jamie Jors. And we're talking about the Green Bay Packers. We're talking about the Pro Bowl. And to kick off the show, on the phone, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Fantastic. Let's kick it off here. The offensive line received a lot of attention coming into the Bears game. How did they perform, and particularly the guys playing new positions or being switched around?
Overall, I thought the offensive line played very successfully. As usual, Josh Sitton and Scott Wells played very well at their usual center and right guard position. T.J. Lang, who kicked out to right tackle, performed very well considering he had been playing guard all year. He played average in pass protection and a little above average in run blocking. Then on the left side of the line, that wasn't as successful. Evan Dietrich Smith struggled a bit at run blocking. And then Marshall Newhouse struggled still in pass protection. He allowed 4 pressures, which isn't as much as he had been allowing, but still not something you'd like to see, and he also struggled a little in run blocking. But hopefully, come playoff time, there will be enough players back that neither of those players will need to start, so that shouldn't be a problem come playoffs.
Jordy Nelson once again had a nice game on Christmas Day. How is he performing compared to other elite wide receivers in the NFL?
Jordy Nelson has been playing right up there with the elite wide receivers. Currently, he ranks 4th on our website, right behind Calvin Johnson, Wes Walker, and Larry Fitzgerald. He has always been performing well in his rate statistics in the past few years, so he has been a player that I have looked at to succeed in the future, and as he's gotten more snaps, he's actually improved. Of the players with 50 or more targets, he has the highest catch rate at 77.4%, and the 3rd highest yards per catch at 18.7. Then he also has his 9th in yards after the catch at 386, and 2nd in touchdowns with 12. And in all that, he only has 2 drops, where some receivers are already in the double digits in drops. So he has been playing excellently, and even with Greg Jennings out, he's been getting more of the better coverage on him, and he's still succeeding.
Very impressive. Over on the defensive side of the football, there's a bit of a revolving door going on at right outside linebacker. Who's performing best among Eric Walden, Vic Soto, Brad Jones, and even Jamari Lattimore?
The player that I was most impressed by this last game was Vic Soto. Early on in the game, you could see a lot of runs going out to the outside at the right outside linebacker position, and you would consistently see Eric Walden and Brad Jones getting blocked, and then that led to the long runs when those were the players that needed to make the tackles. There were 4 times where I noticed Walden getting successfully blocked by either the tight end or the fullback, and that led to 9 or even longer runs by the Bears running backs. However, when Soto was in, there was one play where it was to his side like usual, but he was able to shed the block and make the tackle for just a 2-yard gain. So even though that was just one play, that was still one play more than Walden or Jones was able to make. And then in terms of pass rush, both Walden and Jones didn't come up with any pressure whatsoever, but we had Soto marked down for having 2 pressures.
Yesterday, the NFL Pro Bowl rosters were announced, and let's kick this off by talking about Pro Bowl snubs. Which Packers didn't make the Pro Bowl that maybe should have?
The biggest snub, in my opinion, was Josh Sitton. He has consistently been one of the better right guards in the league these past 2 years, and even though he hasn't been playing quite as well this year as he was last year, he was still playing better than almost everyone else in the NFC that he deserved to make it. Another name that maybe not this year because of his injuries, but Brian Bulaga has been playing excellently this year. He has improved significantly in both pass blocking and run blocking, and currently ranks as either our top or second best right tackle in the league, even though he's missed a couple of games. And then someone else that I would have liked to see make it, even though I wasn't too surprised that he didn't, is Jordy Nelson, who I just talked about before. And I would have actually put Nelson in instead of Greg Jennings at that fourth wide receiver spot.
The Packers have an embarrassment of riches at the wide receiver position. That's not to belittle Greg Jennings. He himself is having a good year as well. On the flip side of the coin, are there any Packers that made the Pro Bowl that perhaps shouldn't have?
Yes, I seemed to anger a couple Packer fans last night when I mentioned that DJ Raji has been struggling the entire year and is just getting worse. It's hard because his biggest struggle is in run blocking, and there isn't any one number that I can throw out to say this is how bad he's been performing. But part of what we do at Pro Football Focus is we grade every player on every play, which includes the running plays and how people are doing in run blocking and stopping the run. And you can consistently see that offensive linemen are pushing DJ Raji around and pushing him where they want him to go in order for the run plays to develop how they want the run plays to develop. If you just watch the first few plays of the Bears offense in the Bears-Packers game, you can see the Bears offensive linemen pushing Raji to open up holes for the running backs, which is partially why the Bears had such a good rushing game this past week. And he has been doing that all season. It was the first two games that he performed well, and since then his play has just jumped off the cliff. So that was one of the weirdest Pro Bowl selections that I saw on the team. I also thought it was weird seeing Charles Woodson on when Tremont Williams has been the best cornerback in Green Bay the past 2 years.
The Packers take on the Lions on New Year's Day, their next opponent in the season finale, regular season finale. What can we look forward to the second time around that they're playing each other this season?
It's a little hard to tell exactly what to look for since either one of these teams could be resting some of their starters. When the Lions are on offense, the main person to worry about is, of course, Calvin Johnson, who currently ranks as our best wide receiver in the league. Also, the Lions have a very good offensive line, so Clay Matthews is the only person that might be getting some pass rush in this game. I wouldn't expect to see it from any other Packers pass rushers, whether it's starters or backups. Then when the Packers are on offense, whether it's the Lions starters or backups playing, they will have a good pass rush because they have so much depth at that position. One name to possibly look for is 2010 seventh round pick defensive end Willie Young, who even though he isn't seeing all that much playing time, he's getting pressure on 17% of his pass rushes this season, and he could see some extended time in this game. But then the Lions also are weak at defensive back in terms of their depth. So the Packers, even if they rest some of their starters, it'll still be the same wide receivers playing, so they should all still have big games, whether it's Rodgers or Flynn throwing them the ball.
Nathan, can you give people who might be new to joining us just a quick little rundown on what you do at ProFootballFocus.com?
Sure. What we do at Pro Football Focus is we have a few people watching every game extensively, marking down every player on every play and where they are at the start of the play and what they did on the play. So we know exactly what these players are doing and how often they're doing it. And then we also have someone going through an extensive rating scale and also marking down some things that the NFL doesn't keep track of. So therefore, we can have statistics on every single player in the NFL, whether they've only played a little bit or have played every down. And therefore, we have statistics to know when it comes to the Pro Bowl that we shouldn't see offensive linemen like Davin Joseph of Tampa Bay making the Pro Bowl or Pouncey from Pittsburgh and know that there are some great offensive linemen who should be making it. For example, Chris Myers of Houston or Evan Mathis of Philadelphia.
Nathan Yonke, thank you so much for joining us on Cheesehead TV this morning. Take care and talk to you next week.
It was a good time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Nathan Yonke, ProFootballFocus.com, joining us as he does every Wednesday here on Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. And welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. I've got a couple rants today that I'm going to go on, and a lot of it having to do with the Pro Bowl. And, you know, Nathan just got done, you know, very extensively covering the Pro Bowl and perceived snubs and things like that. And, you know, I've got a lot of feelings about the Pro Bowl, and I think there's, like, you know, huge misconceptions out there about what the Pro Bowl's all about. And, you know, part of this is inspired by a couple tweets from Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week, talking about the Pro Bowl, just writing his opinions on the Pro Bowl. And, you know, I kind of differ a little bit with Mr. McGinn, again, the most respected beat writer on the Packers beat, or at least one of them. And Mr. McGinn saying last week that, you know, the Pro Bowl's a joke and whatever, and it is a joke. Bob McGinn saying the reason is when they let fans vote, that it kind of started to lose significance. And I think there's a lot of issues with the Pro Bowl, but letting the fans vote is not one of the issues, in my opinion. What the issue is, I mean, first of all, the game itself is a joke, and I'm not sure what you can do about that. You know, it happens after the season's done. Guys don't want to get hurt. I can totally understand that. They don't give a whole lot of effort. If I'm a professional football player being paid millions of dollars, I really wouldn't want to play in it either, and get hurt and, you know, all those things. So, you know, I'm not sure what you do about that. I've heard a lot of times that they should replace it with, like, a skills competition, and maybe they should. I don't know. I haven't thought about it that much, but I do know that it is a good thing for the fans. The whole purpose of the Pro Bowl is for the fans. It's a game where they can see their players, their favorite players, play one last time. You know, you used to be the last game of the year, not anymore. Now it's the week before the Super Bowl, but still, you know, one of the last two times, at least, one of the last two games of the year in which you can see your favorite professional football players before the following fall. So, you know, it's there, it's for fans, and that's why I don't have a problem with fans voting for it. The problem I do have is people thinking it's a representative all-star team for the NFL. That's not its purpose, and it shouldn't be viewed as that way. Now, it's the best thing we might have, perhaps, to see an all-star team on both the AFC and the NFC. If you're looking for really the best players in the NFL, I think you look at the all-pro teams that are voted upon by the Associated Press at the end of the year, by NFL writers, NFL journalists. I think that tells you who the very best players are in the NFL. And even that is only voted upon by members of the Associated Press. I think it's a little bit flawed in that way as well. I think perhaps if there ever was to be a system that, you know, voted on the very best, you would include probably members of the media as well as players, maybe former players and coaches and scouts as well. But there is no system like that in place, so people automatically look to the Pro Bowl, which they probably shouldn't have, because it is you know, somewhat of a popularity contest. You know, we just talked to Nathan Yonke extensively about Pro Bowl snubs and guys who made it in that shouldn't have, not just from the Packers, but everywhere as well. And you look like guys who were Pro Bowl snubs, like Jordy Nelson and Josh Sitton, guys who could have made it in that maybe deserved to get in but didn't. And then there's other guys on the team like B.J. Raji, you know, really kind of making it in on reputation, had a very good year last year, or just kind of, you know, not that B.J. Raji's had a bad season, but I'm not sure he's had a good season this year, a great season, one in which he deserves to be on an all-star team. He's the Packers' best defensive lineman and very valuable, but just not, you know, all-star material, for lack of a better term. I'm not sure what I'm getting at here. I know the Packers or the NFL doesn't have a quote-unquote all-star team, but again, a representative of what they're of what the best is in the NFL. And, you know, other guys who might have made it on reputation, perhaps fullback John Kuhn, although it certainly is nice to see a guy like Kuhn, who probably is, maybe he's not the best blocking fullback in the NFL, but there is something to be said about the job he does with the football in his hands, albeit not very much compared to other players on the Packers, but certainly can get the job done carrying the football and catching the football out of the backfield and in pass protection as well. So I do think he does offer some value there. And on top of that, another guy who might have made it on reputation, you know, we can look at the Pro Bowl alternates and things like that. Tremon Williams making is an alternate this year, not having the greatest year. Things, you know, I'll turn it over to the live blog here, and I see a question from P-Nick. Any idea on why Raji is struggling this year? Too much playing time? And I think that's basically the crux of it. B.J. Raji this year, especially early in the year, was getting a lot of playing time, not enough rest, and I think that kind of affected, impacted his effectiveness. And then even all of a sudden Mike Neal comes back, and the Packers, you know, even though Mike Neal hasn't had a big impact himself, it's at least increased the depth of the Packers along the defensive line, and they've been able to play B.J. Raji a little less once Mike Neal came back. But the timing almost coincided with Ryan Pickett now missing the past 2+ games, has missed the last two games entirely, and then came out early of the Raiders game. So you take that into effect, and I think that's had an impact on B.J. Raji, a guy who is the best run stuffer on the Packers team, now not next to Raji, and Raji having to move back to nose tackle, the zero technique where Ryan Pickett has been playing. So, you know, it's those are reasons why I think B.J. Raji is perhaps struggling a little bit this year. Nathan Yonke on our live blog saying, I think part of it is playing time, although against the Bears he was struggling since Pro 1. Yeah, Play 1, B.J. Raji not having a very good game against the Chicago Bears in just the last game on Christmas Day. But again, I think part of the reason there too is Ryan Pickett maybe not next to him. B.J. Raji forced to play the nose where he's not quite as good as playing the three technique, you know, playing defensive end, things like that. So, you know, these are some of the reasons that, you know, thoughts I have on the Pro Bowl. It's an exhibition game. It doesn't count, and therefore that's why I think it's okay that fans get to vote on it. And, you know, where I stand on it. And I suppose before we finish our talk about the Pro Bowl here, I should just mention one last time, too, that I thought was interesting, and it doesn't get a whole lot of attention, is you look back at the fan voting. It was just a week or two ago that they announced the fan voting, the results, and several Packers led their respective positions in voting, and four Packers led their positions in fan voting and failed to make the Pro Bowl at all, whether as a starter or a backup. And that means that four guys, let's see, tackle Chad Clifton, guard TJ Lang, safety Morgan Burnett, and special teamer Jarrett Bush all led in the fan voting, and I think that's just partially due from the Packers being one of the most popular teams in the NFL, not just in the Wisconsin area, but nationwide, basically stuffing the ballot box to an extent. You know, not that there's totally without reason. I mean, Chad Clifton is a multiple Pro Bowler and a little bit more of a household name at tackle than some people. So you see why they do it. But it's obvious that, you know, Chad Clifton doesn't deserve to be a Pro Bowler this year. He hasn't played in even half the games this season, and we don't even know if he's coming back this week yet. We'll kind of find out later today. TJ Lang, I think he's having a very good first season as a starter. Maybe Pro Bowls will come his way eventually, but him leading the fan vote but not being named to the Pro Bowl. Morgan Burnett, kind of in the same category as TJ Lang, having a fairly good year for his first season as starter. And, you know, he really got off to a good start to the year. And I think maybe that's where a lot of the votes came in, you know, right when people, you could first start voting. And he looked like a better candidate back then at the beginning of the year before he had his hand injury, and that kind of limited his effectiveness, I think. Still kind of waiting for him to get back on track, and I think that could really help the Packers' defense if all of a sudden Morgan Burnett starts getting into the interception act like he was earlier in the year. And just, you know, if I were to have one snub for the Packers, it would be special teamer Jarrett Bush. Not that I'm watching every special teamer in the whole NFL, but I do know that Jarrett Bush has had a very good season on special teams this year, and you would think that he'd be a candidate to be a Pro Bowler. So he leads the fan vote, you know, not named to the Pro Bowler, not named a first alternate, not even named a second or third alternate. So you know how far down he must have been on the ballots of the players and coaches. You know, not even close. You know, like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, further down than that even maybe on some ballots. So, you know, he really is not getting the respect of players and coaches in the NFL, which is, you know, I think it's deserving. Maybe it certainly wasn't in years past. I mean, Jarrett Bush, everybody, you know, very well knows back in 2007, 2008, 2009 even, he wasn't pulling his weight, but the past 2 years he has been, and has been playing very well. So I thought it was a little bit of a shame that he wasn't even named at least a Pro Bowl alternate. Comment on from P-Nick on the live blog, I think losing Collins hurt Burnett too. Certainly, anytime, you know, we just talked before about B.J. Raji being impacted by the loss of Ryan Pickett. Same thing with Morgan Burnett, you know, losing Nick Collins next to him. Anytime you have good players surrounding you, it's going to help you out. And basically, Morgan Burnett almost had to change positions. It was more so early in the year, Nick Collins playing, you know, free safety, Morgan Burnett playing strong safety. The injury happens, Morgan Burnett playing more free now, Charlie Peppra playing strong safety, more in the box, more often than Burnett. And that's where their skills lie. I mean, but, you know, that's all had an impact into the how they play and how the season has played out for the Packers. And part of the reason that the Packers defense as a whole is struggling a little bit this year. And I would be remiss here if I didn't at least mention the debate going on Twitter this morning that I thought was very interesting. Stacey Jensen, a PR representative of Elite Sports and PR, I think is her firm's name, that represents several Green Bay Packers. You know, the client, she includes several Green Bay Packers and former Packers as well. You know, the list of clients include, you know, some of the ones that might be a little bit more known to fans, Pro Bowlers like, or former Pro Bowlers like Nick Collins, Tremont Williams, players like that, but also other Packers she represents and her firm represents, Ryan Grant, Desmond Bishop, Frank Zombo, Charlie Peppra, and former Packers like Nick Barnett, Mark Tauscher, etc., etc. The list goes on. That's just a partial list. But tweeting yesterday that she's had a chance to look at the Pro Bowl list and who made it and who didn't, and expressing a disappointment that, and here's where it gets interesting, that Clay Matthews made the Pro Bowl and Desmond Bishop didn't. And just for the record, Desmond Bishop did make it as an alternate, a second or third alternate, it appears. And while Clay Matthews is a starter on the NFC squad for the Green Bay Packers. And it's I just kind of look at that and shake my head. And first of all, you notice the obvious that Desmond Bishop and Clay Matthews play different positions. that's just like right off the bat, and you just shake your head and you're like, I don't know really why you're comparing the two. Yes, they both say linebacker in their position name, but inside linebacker as opposed to outside linebacker, you know, it's two totally different positions. It's, you know, you might as well have said, I don't know why B.J. Raji made it instead of Desmond Bishop. You know, the voting, you're comparing apples and oranges to an extent there. And but on top of that, why are you belittling a player, and a very good player, I might add, on the Packers, when, you know, that's where basically most of your clients, or all of your clients, at least at one point, I think, well, maybe not all of them, but many of your clients are. You know, why are you belittling other players on the team? That just, you know, for a PR person, public relations, that doesn't seem to be very friendly public relations. That's going to hurt your firm, and it's just very questionable practice. I don't know why you would do that. It's just another that I just sit here and shake my head, and I wonder what your clients feel about that, talking poor about other members on their team. But, you know, trying to rationalize why Desmond Bishop, you know, didn't make the team and Clay Matthews did, pointing out that Desmond Bishop is among the league leaders in tackles this year, while Clay Matthews is way down there. And that's just such a short-sighted analysis. It's hard to say. I mean, it's looking at tackles as like justification for making the Pro Bowl is ridiculous. I mean, of course, any inside linebacker, any middle linebacker is going to have a ton of tackles. Any team in the NFL, as long as your middle linebacker, inside linebacker plays every game, they're almost guaranteed to be the leading tackler on the team. It's just the position they play. They're in a position, the middle of the defense, taking on runners and receivers, and it just, there's a lot of traffic in that area, and that's, you know, who's going to make the most tackles? The inside linebackers. But anyhow, so, you know, it's again, I sit here and I shake my head when I see comments like that, because it's, you know, it's, I don't know why you're belittling players on the Packers when you represent other players on the team, you're comparing apples and oranges, and it's just kind of foolish. So that's my little rant, and I think Stacey Jensen ends up with a little egg on her face, but somehow she'll just shake it off. She's made, you know, rather flippant comments before about the Packers making a mistake getting rid of Nick Barnett, when it kind of almost looked like the Packers have made the right move. You know, Barnett languishing now in a team that's not making the playoffs in Buffalo, while the Packers dumping his salary and moving on with A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop instead. And maybe you can make the argument for Barnett, you know, being a perhaps better linebacker than Bishop or Hawk. I can see that argument being made. But when you factor in all the other things like salary and the distractions that Nick Barnett has made in the past of the team. I think you factor all those things in, and you know, that's why the Packers do it. Comment from Oppy on the live blog: I thought Barnett was having a very good year, and he is. He's on the field of play. Nick Barnett is a good inside linebacker, not a great one, but a good inside linebacker. And this whole discussion too is not to belittle what Desmond Bishop has done this year. Desmond Bishop has had a good year, and you know, it's unfortunate he had an injury here mid-year where he missed a couple games after Thanksgiving, and perhaps he does make the Pro Bowl if that does not happen. But anyway, you know, for all the reasons referenced before, I don't know why you're comparing Clay Matthews to Desmond Bishop and belittling Clay Matthews to begin with, who himself is although his statistics are down in terms of number of sacks, himself having a great year as well. I think the people have thrown out the stat out there, how many quarterback hits Clay Matthews has had. It's like among the most in the NFL. And then if you look at his quarterback pressures and hits combined, the most in the NFL, or at least the most in the NFL at his position or something like that, you know, still having a big impact. And he was the best player on the defensive side of the ball this past week against the Chicago Bears on Christmas Day. And so anyhow, thank you so much for joining us this morning, folks, here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Make sure to check back Friday morning when we have our Lions Primer edition of Railbird Central getting ready for the last regular season game of the year as the Packers take on the Detroit Lions on New Year's Day. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us this morning on Railbird Central. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for joining us. And thank you to Jamie Jors on the live blog for acting as live blog director today. And we'll see you on Friday and all week with our coverage at CheeseheadTV.com. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams and Cy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.
Binky and a face full of metal. Her eyes is as wide as a truck and some bile just for the pedal. Her mental clearance is high, but the overpass is low.